You're listening to Connecting Faith, and it's time once again to connect with our good friend Rick Mattson. Rick is an apologetic specialist for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He's served as a staff worker for over 30 years for InterVarsity's author, Faith is Like Skydiving. He's a frequent speaker on college and university campuses, and he serves at Hamline University in Minnesota. And we've been getting together here for a number of weeks just to get some practical approaches and maybe lessons on how to more effectively share our faith with friends, neighbors, coworkers, and last time, Rick, we got together and we were kind of talking about some big questions that people sometimes raise, objections. You know, what about those who've never heard? Or, you know, is Christianity just a matter of where you grew up? Is it all about geography? There's an ethics question that I think is certainly worth addressing, and that's this. Can't non-Christians be just as good as Christians? Why do we need Christ to be good?
Well, in a certain sense, I don't think we do. The image of God lingers in us. It's been tainted, it's been broken, but it's still there. And so God's common grace enables folks who are not Christians to serve and love and care, do manyfold wonderful works of service and compassion. And I say, amen, that's great. More power to them. Let's not minimize that. But I do think from a biblical perspective, God is the one who cares more for the needy and the broken of our world, way more than any of us do. And he's called the church to get out there and to serve and to repair the world, to bring food, water, and clothing, and to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I guess it's my belief that lasting change takes place when we work in God's power. And that's not to say that without God's power or without believing in God, you can't do good things. I think you can, but lasting change and transformation, that internal transformation of the heart, that's the result of God at work and the Holy Spirit using his instruments, using us, using his willing servants to get out there and to serve people, to serve the needy and the broken. So to me, there's a pretty big difference between serving in the power of the Holy Spirit, serving a God who cares for the world more than we do, and just doing it in our own strength.
Well, I was thinking, of course, recently we've had, you know, hurricanes, disaster in, you know, Houston and Florida and the Caribbean, and of course, you know, tragedies like shootings in Las Vegas or wherever it might be. And we think about those first responders, those people that just, you know, kind of drop everything and run to help. Don't we end up kind of, if we're saying that, you know, we need Christ to do good, isn't that sort of besmirching their motives? And, is that a place where we should even be questioning?
Yeah, I definitely want to get out of the business of any sort of questioning of them. It seems to me that we need to pray for them and support them and help them and be citizens for the common good. Sure. Here. I'm all for that. But I think in some ultimate sense, if you're doing prison ministry and prison rehab, or if you're doing drug rehab or a variety of places like that where internal transformation is so critical to the process of becoming whole and being healed, it seems to me that what God is saying is that he wants to extend himself not just to their behavior, not just to behavior modification, but he wants to extend his love and compassion right to the very heart of the person and see transformation there. And I think that's why we see rates of offense and recidivism. Did I say that word correctly?
That's
okay,
correct.
I can never say that word. Yeah. But those rates are lower. The success rate is higher for ministries in drug rehab, in prison ministries, and so forth, for faith-based ministries, because we're talking about the power of God at work in their lives. I'm trying to walk a tightrope here to be supportive and caring for our public servants. Just, I'm all for that. And then to say, when it really gets down to heart transformation, that's the business of God.
But I wonder if maybe one of the real issues behind that is that there's an assumption that we're good by nature, right? That all of us are ultimately, we're good people. There's some bad people. We're not as bad as,
right. So we're not Hitler.
Right. So we're on the scale. We're okay.
Yeah. That's always an interesting question. I guess from a Christian perspective, we would say that human beings are created and good in God's image, but we've fallen away, and now we have this huge sin nature to deal with that is often dominant in our lives. And yet, by God's grace, by God's common grace, The image of God is preserved in us, and it often rises to the occasion. So the image of God and God's common grace enables us to go out and pound nails for Habitat for Humanity or to serve meals or whatever. And those are good things. Those are good motives, and we should be supportive of that. But we please God, and we spread His kingdom through the power of the Spirit, and that's through transformed people who have faith in Jesus. And in all of this, what we need is not just better living conditions on earth. We need better hearts. We need internal change in our lives to be reconciled to God. And that's God's work, and that's the higher calling, I think, that we're talking about here.
Of course, I guess on the other side of that is that there are always examples where Christians who should be good aren't good.
Yeah.
You know, and so then we're dealing with maybe it's hypocrisy or, you know, bad behavior, and Christianity gets a black eye.
Yeah. Yeah. The standards of holiness, the standards of the gospel, the standards of the kingdom of God, and the behaviors that go along with that, and the power of the Spirit that enables that, they're all available to us. But often we ignore them. We backslide. The old words are the carnal Christian, you know, the person who's not tapping into the resources that God provides, resources of community and scripture and spirit, let's say. And when we don't tap into the resources that are available to us and we end up going the other way, yeah, then we can slide into these behaviors that look very, in fact, are very hypocritical. And that's where the people of God need to step up and live into the biblical standards that God gives to us in the power of His Spirit.
So, you know, if someone raises that argument, said, I could never become a Christian because look at, you know, how they behave.
Yeah.
What's your response?
First thing I want to say is to acknowledge that Christians sometimes do behave badly. Christians behaving badly is a black eye on the church. I think it does help to just stand up, though, Neil, and acknowledge the harm that's been done, to not hide from that. And I think Christians are some of the only people in society that are willing to do that. Not to pat ourselves too much on the back here for doing wrong, but when we acknowledge those things, it brings a kind of humility to the conversation that opens up further dialogue. So I would say step one is just acknowledge the harm of the past. And then step two, you might say, but was it always real Christians committed to New Testament Christianity that were doing these things? So the armies that came across the Atlantic Ocean in the colonial period, were those all Christians doing those things? Or were the slave traders all biblical Christ lovers doing those things? Probably not. Again, I don't want to just take back what we acknowledged here, that from a general Christian culture, that being Europe, those things originated. But at the same time, it wasn't always Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians that carried out those things. So that's maybe the second thing to say is to I'm not going to necessarily accept responsibility for harm caused by people who weren't actual Christians. They may have been Christians in name only, but not in substance.
I guess the point is that we always want to draw it back to Jesus. What does Jesus call us to be and to do, right? We can argue about the way things have been done, but it really gets back to Jesus' standard. Right?
Yeah, it's His standard. And I think we should be the first ones to admit that we have ongoing faults in our living. That, you know, at some level, I'm still a hypocrite. I am. The standards are up here. This is radio. The standards are up here.
You really? Know, that high? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My hands on the ceiling. And my life, my daily life is down here someplace. And so there's a gap. Well, let's just admit that. And to say the reason we go to church is to narrow the gap. It's to improve our lives. It's broken people who go to church to improve their lives, to connect with God, rather than perfect people, saints who go to church to develop a sense of, you know, self-righteousness and holier-than-thou living, which the world finds so disgusting. I find that disgusting as well. But those of us who are churchgoers and committed to a local body, I think we just acknowledge we are broken people, and we go to church to find strength there and to find healing there and to improve our lives and to extend that improvement to transformation of our society.
I was thinking, too, probably just to to help us understand that, you know, many people think, well, if I do enough right things, then I become good enough for God to accept me. And that's really not the gospel.
No, it isn't at all. God is looking for people that admit their own flaws, admit they need his grace, admit that they need his forgiveness. And once you admit that, then you're totally in position to accept him into your life and to see your life changed, as we say, from the inside out. And that's where this remarkable phenomenon of the kingdom on earth really takes place. It starts in our hearts and then extends out from there.
As we began the conversation talking about our hearts transformation, and we came back to that as well. That is at the heart of our conversations that each time we get together. Rick Mattson is an apologetic specialist with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He serves at Hamline University right now in Minnesota, but he travels across college and university campuses across the country and also does seminars at churches, helping us to more practically and effectively share our faith. You can connect with him at his website, rickmatsonoutreach.com. It's rickmatsonoutreach.com. And check out his book from InterVarsity Press, Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. Rick, I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks.
Thank you.